James Oppenheim. Better known as Boney James, is a saxophonist, songwriter, and record producer. Boney James is a four-time Grammy Award nominee and a Soul Train Award winner. He has also been honored with two NAACP Image Award nominations for Best Jazz Album. Boney James took up the clarinet at the age of 8, switching to saxophone when he was 10. Boney spent his early teen years in New Rochelle, New York, and became musically influenced by the R&B of Motown and saxophonist Grover Washington Jr. When Boney was 14, his family moved to Los Angeles, where he joined a fusion band. My name is Dee Duane, and I recently had the pleasure of catching up with and talking to Mr. Boney James.
Hey, it's Boney James.
Hey, Boney, how you doing?
Good, how's it going?
Thank you so much for calling, I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Congratulations on the success of your album titled Honestly. Why did you give the album project that name?
Well, you know, finding a title for the record is always a challenge sometimes, especially when you're writing mostly instrumental music and you hope for some inspiration. That particular word came from Avery Sunshine, the wonderful singer who wrote the lyrics for that song. And as soon as she sent me the lyrics and said the title of the song was Honestly, I thought, oh, that'll be a great name for the record because it's just such a positive word, and I was feeling a very positive energy from the music, so it seemed like it was a good way to encapsulate the feeling I was getting.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love the album, too. It's a good album. It's really nice.
Thank you, sir.
And I can't stop playing the Ride album, too.
Well, thank you, man. Well, yeah, hopefully they all stand the test of time. You know, every time I make a new record, it becomes my personal favorite. I'm working on a new one right now in the studio. So the next one people haven't heard yet, that's my new favorite.
Right, all right. It says here that you started out playing a clarinet in New York, and you switched to saxophone. When did you switch to the sax?
I was 10 years old, and I switched because the band had so many clarinets in it, the teacher needed a saxophone and thought, I guess I was the best clarinet player and be easiest for me to switch. I resisted for quite a while because it was a much heavier case I was going to have to carry to and from school, but he leaned on me, and luckily it all worked out because it's turned out to be my great passion in life is playing the saxophone.
Excellent, excellent. That's great. So it's too many clarinets, huh?
Yeah, it's just fate.
Wow. Amazing. In 1985, I understand that you joined the Morris Days band. What?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I decided I wanted to be a professional musician, and I was delivering pizzas to pay the rent, trying to figure out how to make a living as a musician, and I heard that Morris, just right after Purple Rain, he broke up with the Time and came out to L.A. to put a solo band together, and they were having a big cattle call audition, and they needed a keyboard player, and I played a little keyboard, so I really didn't consider myself a great keyboard player. But I learned how to play Jungle Love and the Bird on my synthesizer and went and tried out, and they hired me that same day, and that I played with Morris off and on for 5 years, and that really started my career as a sideman, you know, backing up pop and R&B acts around town.
I love it. I love it. So you're playing keyboards for Morris Day's band.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and then I told them when I got the gig I was really considering myself more of a sax player, and they didn't really believe me, you know, because they thought I was a great keyboard player. I don't know why, but anyway, I brought my horn to rehearsal, and then they actually built a little part into the show during Gigolo's Get Lonely 2. He would, you know, invite a woman up on stage, and
right.
And you know, they'd have a little candle-lit table set, and then I would serenade them with a saxophone, and then he'd go off and have a costume change, and I would lead the band, and we were playing stadiums, you know. So that's, I think, when I got the bug to maybe I wanted to try and do that myself to be the front man.
Uh-huh. That's excellent. That's great. Because I never would imagine Boney James and Morris Day. Wait a minute. Now, isn't Morris Day from Minneapolis? I'm like, how did that happen?
Yeah, well, you know, actually, we played a show together in the last 12 months. Maybe last year. Somebody put us on a gig together. It was pretty great to reconnect. A lot of people that were in the band back in the day were still there.
Wow.
And, you know, and I came on stage and sat in with Morris on Gigolo's Get Lonely 2 again just last year. So that was kind of fun.
Oh, wow. That's excellent. Excellent. Now, you've mentioned that some of your best times in your career were with the band called Line One.
That was my high school band. That was my high school band, and, you know, it was the band that was really with my whole life for a number of years. You know, we thought we were going to get a record deal, and, you know, we rehearsed every day, and in Kenny Gradney's garage. Kenny Gradney's the bass player from Little Feat, and he was sort of our mentor. You know, it didn't work out, but one of those band members is kind of a big famous guy now, John Shanks. He's a great producer. He won the Grammy for Producer of the Year for producing, you know, Alanis Morissette and Kelly Clarkson and all those people. And now he's the guitar player in Bon Jovi as well. So
wow.
Yeah, so he's gone on to great things.
Now, I've got to ask you the question that everybody probably asks you. How did you get the name Boney James? How did that come about?
Well, after I played with Morris, I was playing in Randy Crawford's band, and she was very popular in Scandinavia, you know, so we would go over to Norway and Sweden and places like that for months at a time, and everything cost a fortune over there, so I just said to the keyboard player one day, man, I better not just eat for the next couple of days. Uh-huh. And he said, oh, you'll get all skinny. I'll have to start calling you Boney James or something. Because James is my legal first name.
Right.
And I said, man, please don't call me Boney James. And then just to mess with me, he kept calling me that and introducing me to people that way. And for some reason, people liked calling me that. And it just caught on.
Uh-huh. So you've learned to like the name.
Well, you know, I just got stuck with it. I mean, people kept calling me that, and there was like a segment of musicians mainly. I mean, my friends and family that knew me from before, they did, you know, they all call me Jimmy. But musicians started to call me Boney James, and when I started making my first record, the record company, the producer, Paul Brown, was calling around doing some sessions, and he called Paul Jackson Jr., the great session guitar player, and said, hey, I want you to come play on this record for this Jim Oppenheim guy. And he said, oh, you mean Boney James? And so Paul said, what's this Boney James thing? And I told him what the story. He said, oh, you got to use that as your stage name, man. And I'm like, oh, really? I hadn't even thought about it, but...
It is a cool
name. Yeah, there was people that called me that and people that didn't, but it became my name, 30-some-odd years ago, and I'm used to it.
You have an impressive list of collaborations with artists like George Benson, Al Jarreau, and Philip Bailey. Do you enjoy performing with different types of styles and musical influences?
Oh, definitely. You know, I mean, every now and then I will just write a song that needs a little extra something, you know, be it a vocal collaboration or a solo from someone. And luckily, there's a bunch of people I respect and admire that have also heard of me and are interested in collaborating. So those have been some great bits of music that I've been able to create over the years.
Uh-huh. I'm hoping to talk to him real soon, Philip Bailey. What's it like working with Philip?
Oh, he was great, man. I mean, you know, I had really idolized Earth, Wind & Fire when I was in high school. I was like my favorite band. I drove around listening to that Gratitude CD over and over and over again. Couldn't stop. So when he, you know, when I reached out to them and he was like, yeah, I'd love to collaborate, I was just tremendously honored. And he was great to work with. You know, he showed up at the studio really early, and he was really prepared, and he really gave it his all and added some things I hadn't even thought of on the song, and that was a great moment.
Uh-huh. So which do you enjoy most, recording or performing?
You know, they're both really wonderful things. You know, I mean, they're just different sides of the coin. You know, I mean, making completely different mediums. You know, it's all music, but I mean, playing a show is exciting and it's totally in the moment. And as soon as it's done, it's over and gone forever. You know, it's just an experience. But making a record is like, you know, building a model and super tedious and time consuming and you know, solitary, and yet as soon as you're done, it's something that'll live forever. So it's completely opposite in a way, but still, you know, two sides of the same coin.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Bonnie, you've sold more than 3 million albums, and you're a four-time Grammy Award nominee. Did you ever foresee such a successful career?
Oh, definitely not. You know, I mean, I didn't even really have any hopes about it. I mean, that I just wanted to be able to have people hear my music. You know, after all those years, I was spent 7-8 years working as a sideman, and I got really frustrated with that life. So I wanted people to hear my music, you know. So I really just wanted to make a record so people could hear my music, and I thought maybe my mother would be the only one that would buy it. And that first record, you know, even though it was on an independent label, it kind of took off. So much so that Warner Brothers came in and signed me, and then next thing you know, I had a career, and here I am almost 30 years later. So it's a real blessing, and I'm super grateful about it.
I got my phone.
I'm a big fan of Motown, and I understand that Motown has been a big influence to you as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all those records, you know, when I was coming up were just really made me interested in music, really.
Who would you say was your two favorite Motown artists?
Oh, I don't know, maybe Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye.
There you go. That's my two. Yeah, I mean, between the two of them, they've done... I mean, but Motown entirely is just an incredible amount of excellent music. I mean...
Sure.
I wonder how they were able to pull it off with only just a four-track, you know?
Yeah, well, and incredible musicianship, too, you know, those arrangements.
Absolutely.
Smokey had a lot to do with a lot of that stuff, too, you know?
Yes, he did, especially in the early days of Motown. He was writing for everybody and producing and everything. It was, wow, what a remarkable story that is.
Yes, sir.
But I understand that Mr. Grover Washington Jr. also is a big influence of yours, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, like, I came up really loving R&B music, but I played the saxophone, although there was a lot of great saxophone on some of those records, too. But, you know.
Yeah.
When I heard Grover, that was really the first artist I heard in about 1975 that was sort of playing saxophone over a funky R&B flavored groove, you know, and that to me was just like the light bulb over my head was, oh yeah, I want to do that.
Okay, so was it Mr. Magic?
Yeah, Mr. Magic. That was the first one I heard.
I know. Well, I'd say that was a big, huge record for Grover Washington.
Yeah, it's still a great record. It still sounds amazing. That's one of those records that doesn't, like, age.
Uh-huh. And everybody knows it. It's very familiar.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, got to know Bob James over the years, and he was the one that wrote the arrangement and played the keyboards on that record. And
is that right?
Yeah. So he was very instrumental in actually helping me get my deal at Warner Brothers because he was sort of a consulting producer at the time and heard me and liked what he heard and said, you should sign this guy, so...
Yeah, I love Bob James. I had no idea he had anything to do with Grover, though. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, no, he was that little, you know, electric piano at the beginning of Mr. Magic. That's Bob, and he wrote the arrangement with the strings and the horns and everything. That's basically all Bob.
Uh-huh. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your music is very sensuous, and ladies really love it. Is that true all over the world, Boney?
Yeah, though, I hear that a lot, you know. It's a good thing.
ladies love it all over the world, huh? So we can go over to Europe and they respond pretty much the same way as they do over here in the States.
Well, actually, I don't really tour too much in Europe, you know. I mean, most of my audience is over here in the States, so that's just the way it's worked out, but it's all good.
Well, a friend of mine said that you perform a wide variety of genres and types of music, and she called you a musical chameleon. Was that something that you concentrated on being?
Well, I like different kinds of music, you know what I mean? So I like to sort of just be open to the ideas and follow them where they lead and not to be too editorial and say, oh, that doesn't fit my style, you know? Because I think people like my records because there's going to be a lot of different flavors on there, you know? So I like a record that has an eclectic sort of movement to it where it's not all the same thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you're working on a new album now. So what's next? What's coming up? What can we expect?
It's getting good. That's all I can say. You know, I'm deep in it now and just trying to put the finishing touches on it. And I'm pretty excited about the new music. So it's just going to be another great record, hopefully.
Any idea when we're going to be able to get a copy of it, when it's going to come out?
My hope is that it would be out in April, maybe. So... if I can turn it in about the beginning of the year, and then they get their, you know, few months to set up the marketing and all that stuff. And so hopefully April is my wish list.
Boney James has sold over 3 million albums and has accumulated 4 certified gold records. In 2009, Billboard magazine named Boney James one of the top 3 contemporary jazz artists of the decade. My many thanks to Boney James for the interview, and thank you to Jenna Roy of DR Public Relations for her assistance and support of the Gumbo Mix.